Outside in the high, Robert Sandy mounted his bicycle and headed for home. He was feeling totally lightheaded. It was as though he had just finished a whole bottle of good wine all by himself. Here he was, solid old Robert Sandy, sedate and sensible, cycling through the streets of Oxford, with more than $500,000 in the pocket of his old tweed jacket. It was madness, but it was true. He arrived back at his house in Acacia Road at about 4:30 and parked his bike in the garage alongside the car. Suddenly, he found himself running along the little concrete path that led to the front door. "Now stop that," he said aloud, pulling up short. "Calm down. You've got to make this really good for Betty. Unfold it slowly." But oh, he simply could not wait to give the news to his lovely wife and watch her face as he told her the whole story of his afternoon. He found her in the kitchen packing some jars of homemade jam into a basket. "Robert," she cried, delighted as always to see him. "You're home early. How nice." He kissed her and said, "I am a bit early, aren't I?" "Oh, you haven't forgotten we're going to the Renshaws for the weekend. We have to leave fairly soon." "I had forgotten," he said. "Or maybe I hadn't. Perhaps that's why I'm home early. I thought I'd take Margaret some jam." "Good," he said. "Very good. You take her some jam. That's a very good idea, to take Margaret some jam." There was something in the way he was acting that made her swing round and stare at him. "Robert," she said, "what's happened? There's something the matter." "Pour us each a drink," he said. "I've got a bit of news for you." "Oh, darling, it's not something awful, is it?" "No," he said. "It's something funny. I think you'll like it." "You've been made head of surgery." "It's funnier than that," he said. "Go on, make a good stiff drink for each of us and sit down and I'll tell you." "It's a bit early for drinks," she said, but she got the ice tray from the fridge and started making his whiskey and soda. While she was doing this, she kept glancing up at him nervously. She said, "I don't think I've ever seen you quite like this before. You are wildly excited about something, and you are pretending to be very calm. You're all red in the face. Are you sure it's good news?" "I think it is," he said. "But I'll let you judge that for yourself." He sat down at the kitchen table and watched her as she put the glass of whiskey in front of him. "All right," she said. "Come on, let's have it." "Get a drink for yourself first," he said. "My goodness, what is this?" she said, but she poured some gin into a glass and was reaching for the ice tray when he said, "More than that, give yourself a good stiff one." "Now I am worried," she said. But she did as she was told and then added ice and filled the glass up with tonic. "Now then," she said, sitting down beside him at the table, "get it off your chest." Robert began telling his story. He started with the prince in the consulting room, and he spun it out long and well, so that it took a good 10 minutes before he came to the diamond. "It must be quite a whopper," she said, "to make you go all red in the face and funny looking." He reached into his pocket and took out the little black pouch and put it on the table. "There it is," he said. "What do you think?" She loosened the silk cord and tipped the stone into her hand. "Oh my God," she cried. "It's absolutely stunning." "It is, isn't it? It's amazing." "I haven't told you the whole story yet," he said. And while his wife rolled the diamond from the palm of one hand to the other, he went on to tell her about his visit to Harry Gold in the High. When he came to the point where the jeweller began to talk about value, he stopped and said, "So what do you think he said it was worth?" "Something pretty big," she said. "It's bound to be. I mean, just look at it." "Go on then, make a guess. How much?" £10,000, she said. "I really don't have any idea." "Try again." "You mean it's more?" "Yes, it's quite a lot more." £20,000? "Would you be thrilled if it was worth as much as that?" "Of course I would, darling. Is it really worth £20,000? "Yes," he said. "And the rest." "Now don't be a beast, Robert. Just tell me what Mr. Gold said." "Take another drink of gin." She did so, then put down the glass, looking at him and waiting. "It is worth at least $500,000, and very probably over $1 million.
You're joking.
Her words came out in a kind of gasp. It's known as a pear shape, he said. And where it comes to a point at this end, it's as sharp as a needle.
I'm completely stunned, she said, still gasping.
You wouldn't have thought 500,000, would you?
I've never in my life had to think in those sort of figures, she said.
She stood up and went over to him and gave him a huge hug and a kiss.
You really are the most wonderful and stupendous man in the world, she cried.